It's the Badges Off Podcast with Justin Hill, James West, Dicario Jenkins, and Justin Reed. It's the Badges Off Podcast.
Straight up. Who all had their daddies in their life?
Me.
You, man.
100%.
You did. I know you did. You had your daddy in your life? Like, he would count it up?
I think we all got a different dynamic, though.
And that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want.
I got a very interesting story. I got wild stories, so maybe I should save me for last.
You want to be last?
I might need to be.
All right, let's get into it. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go. I start off with mine.
All right. Mr. Hill.
My daddy.
My daddy. That's what we call this episode, My Daddy.
Oh, that's
my
a good. Daddy.
That's good.
That's a good right there.
My daddy.
My daddy. Hey, listen, my daddy. Hey, my daddy and my mama got divorced. I believe I was about like 5 years old, right before I was going to kindergarten. I could very well be wrong. I can't remember. I was so young. But my daddy is a hoop in some good ways and some bad ways. But you know what?
He your daddy.
Before I get even started on the started on all this, like you said, what you say?
He that's your daddy. Daddy.
He my daddy.
That's your daddy now.
I own my daddy. I appreciate my daddy.
Yes, sir.
I shed tears for my daddy.
Right.
Because it's my daddy.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate my daddy for what he has been to me.
Yeah.
I don't care about his flaws.
Yeah.
I know they exist, but that's my daddy.
Right.
So, my daddy got divorced from my mama when I was around 5 years old.
Right.
Daddy liked to drink. I like to drink.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got something coming.
But my daddy liked to drink.
Yeah. He drank.
So that's one of my daddy's flaws. And it's always been one of his flaws throughout his adult life, especially as a father. But again, I don't hold no grudge against my daddy. Because my daddy taught me so much.
Yeah.
My daddy was there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He just had his flaws.
Right. We all do.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people might say, well, you're making excuses for your daddy, son. Well, whatever. My daddy was there. I know a lot of kids who ain't had a damn daddy.
Right.
Excuse me.
Don't know their daddy.
Right.
Yeah.
So, my daddy, you know, he married my stepmother when I was real young. And I love my stepmother just as much as I love my mama. You know why? Because my stepmother was a good mother.
Right.
Take the step part out of it.
Right.
My stepmother was a good mother. So, my daddy, I mean, if you're going to do what you do, at least pick a good woman when you're doing what you're doing. He did.
Right.
He picked a good stepmother. But my daddy was the daddy who had rights to us every other weekend.
Uh-huh.
It was his job to come pick us up after he got our work every other weekend. He had us for the weekend. We go to his house with my stepmother and my sisters. Nah. Remember, I told you my daddy liked to drink.
Right.
So Friday, when my daddy get off, daddy for the drink.
Straight up.
You know what I'm saying? Ooh. So now, he might come get us. He might not come get us. We can laugh about it now.
Right.
But back then, you know, when you were a kid.
You ready to see daddy, man.
And you, listen, you done went to school the whole week. You know this your weekend to be with your daddy.
You looking forward to it.
You done packed your bag on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because you know when you got out of school, your daddy coming to get you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it was them times when my daddy said, you know what? I just want to drink and hang out with my homeboy.
Right.
He ain't come get us.
Yeah.
Sitting there waiting, bags at the door. Daddy wasn't there. Mama hated it. But as kids, you grow to always make excuses for your daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I know he loves. He just ain't come get us a day, but it's all right. He'll come get us next weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, even though you might not feel it, but you, it's tearing you down a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't see the whole view of what it's doing to you at the time.
Right.
Because we're masking it with that hope.
Yeah, you're a kid.
That's
you
good.
That hope. Yeah.
Masking it with hope.
Yeah, I did. I know I did. I used to look out the window and be like,
right,
he on his way.
Right.
I used to get that bomb on my way.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you be there to from 2 to 4 looking.
Right. It's Friday, but now it's Saturday.
Come on,
daddy still ain't came.
Man.
But you know when daddy did come?
Oh, man, it was it.
Man, it was.
magical.
It was like heaven and magic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cause now we with daddy for the whole weekend. Mm. My daddy, when he had us, who taught me how to throw a football?
Yeah.
My daddy. How many kids daddy taught them how to throw a football? Yeah. Black kids. Mm. Not a lot.
Right.
Let's be real. Not a lot.
Right.
My daddy, when he decided that he was going to come get us and he was going to choose the liquor over his kids, he was a great father.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Every weekend, throwing the football in the front yard. Taught me how to throw a spiral. Taught me how to grip the ball.
It was tight, too. I remember.
Hey, it was tight.
Yeah, listen.
It was tight. Now.
That boy could throw. Hey,
ask Jermonte Bush. I broke his fingers.
You mean, yeah, listen.
In middle school. I ain't trying to brag, but
Monte,
I'm bragging just a little bit.
Shout out to Monte.
Monte still see me to this day.
Yeah.
Jay Hill, you remember when you broke my fingers? But listen. But my daddy, though, he was a good father. He was just flawed.
Yeah.
Like everybody daddy. Some of that is flawed more than others. Mm-hmm. And I tell you this too. Sometimes my daddy would decide to get off work, still drink, but still come get us.
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen. When that happened, we wasn't going home. We wasn't going to his house in Wakulla. We was hanging out.
Yeah.
We talking about 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Hanging out to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning when my daddy decided to drink, gamble, do his thing. To this day, I still love my daddy though.
He had his kids.
Because my daddy still had his kids.
Yeah.
And one thing about it, when my daddy was drunk, if you needed something, McDonald's, some chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Some Doritos from the corner store.
Yeah.
When he drunk, he gonna give it to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He gonna give it to you, man.
That's the best time to ask.
That's the best time to ask. But my daddy would leave us sitting in the car outside while he inside the trailer park. Inside that trailer, doing his thing, gambling. That's my daddy.
Yeah,
that's your daddy.
But at the end of the day, I had my daddy.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't sit here and regret not having a perfect father. Some people may have a perfect father. I ain't never seen one.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
My daddy was my daddy. I learned to live with who my daddy was.
Right.
My daddy made me who I was because I learned from his good parts and his bad parts.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And as a kid, I was forced to grow up at an early age in my own respective ways. I saw my daddy. I understood that I didn't want to be like that part of my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be like this part of my daddy.
Yeah.
My daddy was the type of father who loved his family, who loved his kids. He understood that he had his flaws, he had his ways, and he just didn't know how to defeat those demons in his life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's still living now. I don't want to talk about him like he did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He just didn't know how to defeat those demons in his life. Man, to this day, he still don't know how to defeat some of those demons in life, just like all four of us.
Still
we don't know how to defeat some of them demons in our life. We human.
Yeah, absolutely.
And crazy thing is, we cops and firefighters.
Yeah.
But we all have our own demons.
Right.
And what I've done is made excuses. I don't care what people think, whether they're good or bad, whether they're right or wrong. When you got a daddy who was born in 1956 and grew up and became a man during the crack era, you got to understand something. As a black man, if you survived that era.
Boy, look at here.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You a strong dude.
Right.
Yeah.
My daddy had 6 kids from 3 different women.
Mm. 6 of y'all.
And 5 of us all went to college.
Oh.
4 of us got degrees. 3 of us got master's degrees.
That's what's up.
All of us got good jobs for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad did something right.
Something.
Yeah. He decided to be in his children's lives in the best way he knew how.
Right.
Does that make him perfect? No. But as a grown man at 35 years old, and I was very aware of this when I was in college at 18, 19 years old, I understood that the type of daddy that I had, he was still a good daddy.
Right.
He was the type of daddy that a lot of people didn't have because a lot of people didn't have their daddy.
Uh-uh.
So I appreciated my daddy. And to this day, when me and my daddy sitting up under his shed in the back of the house, they just had a house built a few years ago, and he got this big metal building back there. Me and him be sitting up under there, and we'll be drinking together.
Mm.
You get a little drunk. That's when I tell my daddy how much I love him and how much I appreciate him.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my dad the truth, though. I say, you a flawed individual. You did a lot of stuff wrong, but you did a lot of stuff right.
Right.
And as a child, as a son, as his child, it's our job to let our parents know, you know what? You ain't perfect, but you ain't have to be.
Right.
I appreciate who you were in my life, and I appreciate who you are in my life to this day. Mm. And because of who you are, you shaped who I am as a man. Yeah. I learned from your good, and I learned from your bad.
Yep.
You know what I do? I take from both of them.
Yep.
That's good.
And when I become a father, because I'm not a father like all three of y'all, when I do become a father, I'll be different from you from the bad. And I take all that good that you had, and I implement that in my own life. Right, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to learn how to take the bad. I mean, you have to learn to take the good from the bad, man. You can't sit there and dwell on all the bad.
Mm-hmm.
People want you in this world today. They want you to sit there and dwell on the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Why? For what?
Mm-hmm.
Take on the good, man. That's my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jerry, who your daddy was?
So my dad was, first of all, my parents weren't married.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up pretty much living with my mother. I knew my father. My father stayed Gaston County. I'm from Tallahassee, so he's 30 minutes away. But I grew up not having him in the household. He was in my life, but he had those flaws, too, of the inconsistency of, oh, I'm going to come get you, spending time. I do have three older sisters, two from my dad and one from my mom. So I'm the baby boy. The only
baby boy.
His baby. Only son. Oh. So that's what he tells me a lot now.
How many sisters did you say you had?
Three. So I'm his only son. Our relationship is very dope right now. Mm. Me being in the ministry realm and all that good stuff too, it's brought us closer.
Right, that's
good. But growing up with my father, I never stayed with him. Don't know his standards, his way of living. He's a military cat. He was in Vietnam. He's older too.
What branch?
Army.
Shout out to the Army.
Shout out to the Army. So I knew my father. But from what I knew of him, I took it with a grain of salt to become the father I am.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my father had an argument one time in my early 20s because I was very mad, angry for him not being my daddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What your daddy was supposed to be.
Right. How I thought he was supposed to come to all my football games. How I thought you were supposed to be there at some of my little schooling events, whatever that may
teach
look
you
like.
Stuff.
Yeah. Teach me stuff. I taught myself how to shave. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I taught myself how to do certain stuff because he wasn't in the household, but he was present.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference being a father
day to day,
being a daddy, because you got to be present.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think as being fathers is just providing monetary.
Right.
It's deeper than that.
It's the relationship that you build with your children.
Because I have two daughters. So my time spent with them is way more than anything I can buy them, okay? But my father, he's a pastor. So getting to know him in a different realm or getting to know him, period, was a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
But me coming into church with him and doing things we do and just us talking it out. When we had that argument, he said something that was very profound to me.
What's that?
He said, maybe I don't know how to be a father.
Ooh, the fact that he was able to admit that to you
was real. But that did something to me. That's to where it was like, goodness. Maybe you don't.
Maybe right. You don't.
Goodness.
Wow.
Who got the answers?
But he said, maybe I don't know how to be a father. I said, well, you know, I didn't say any. At that point, I just like, okay.
That's a lot with that.
But that let
boy.
Me know a lot about him that he's trying.
Right.
Yeah.
He's doing everything
he
can. He
let you know that he was human?
I don't know. Let me know he was human and let me know that I don't know what he went through as being my father.
Right.
I don't know the relationship between my mom. I don't know how that dynamic. I never really got too in-depth in that.
Yeah.
But I know they weren't together.
Uh-huh.
So that's my father in a nutshell. We're a lot closer than we were. I thank God for it. He's a great grandfather. He's a great father.
Right.
I ain't got nothing bad to say about him.
Right.
We all wish probably was a little different through different dynamics, but I'm not the perfect father either.
Right.
But I've learned to.
Is there such thing as the perfect father?
There's no perfect father.
Okay.
But there's these things where you have the moments where it's like, I'm going to do something different that he didn't do.
Right.
And because of those times I wanted to spend the different stuff, I make sure I do that with my kids because it's very, very important.
Right.
So, yeah. That's big, man.
Dope.
Maybe he did that was just profound. Maybe I don't know.
Maybe I don't.
Is there a blueprint on the perfect father?
Nah, yeah. Ain't no blueprint on nothing.
It's on a kid to kid basis.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like
you
gonna go through situations. I may go through situations with my kids that he'll never ever experience.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, how do I determine, or how can you determine who is a great father? What makes you a great father or right. not? You know what I'm saying? Yep.
Right.
Like there's
who
nothing,
is the judge?
Yeah, like who can judge me and tell me that I'm a great father or not?
Right.
But then again, as a father, how do I know I'm doing everything right? Or how? Or what?
Cash
how can I
this?
Yeah.
You don't know.
The only person that can judge is who, maybe?
God.
The children.
God.
Yeah, the children.
The children.
Yeah.
But see, God. Because the children, as long as the children are satisfied with who you became, who, what type of father you are, maybe that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So a little bit of my dynamic. I have two children's mothers, but I don't like to call them baby mamas.
No. Mm-hmm.
They're the mother of my children.
We love the women.
I've been divorced for 6 years. Mm-hmm. I have two girls, two beautiful girls. Their mothers are wonderful. But in that, how I am as a father for them is important. And them letting me know I'm the best daddy in the world.
Come on. Right.
Anything you gotta claim that. Anybody can right. tell me.
You gotta claim
whether
that.
It's my mom, anybody else who sees me doing a good job, when right. they're satisfied, yes, I'm indeed. Satisfied.
Yes, indeed.
That's all I need.
So my right. fool, that one.
I digress.
Yeah.
No, you ain't digress. You're right on time, brother.
There is no better feeling
yeah.
as a father to know that your kids have become successful or are doing great. You know what I mean?
Like, just
like all my kids, to see straight A's, like, from all my kids, like, mm-hmm. that is one of the most, like, I can't,
you can't even believe it, huh?
I can't explain the feeling, but the right. fact that, you know what I mean? And the only thing you can do is the best that you can do.
Right.
That's it.
You know what I mean? As long as you're doing the best that you can as a father, mm-hmm. that's all you can do. And that's all that matters.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't nobody really judge how good of a father you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. as long as you're doing, if you're doing the best that you can.
That you can do.
And it may not even be the best that you, you know, like, people, they judge everything. Mm-hmm. But even if they think that you're doing a worse job, as long as you're doing the best that you can, that's all that matters. And one person, and like you just said, the people who gonna let you know that is your kids.
Your
right.
kids.
Yeah. Your kid. Yep.
They let you know every day, some type of way.
Yeah.
They
right.
gonna let you know.
Listen, yeah. they have no filter. If you ain't that's doing what you're supposed to do, if you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, they gonna tell you.
Yeah. Where you been? Yeah.
Kids go tell you.
Why you weren't here this morning?
My kids are ruthless. Lord, listen. But that's what make me a great father, because they hold me up to a certain standard.
Where you get your parenting skills from?
I get mine from my parents. My mom and dad. My dad was there my entire life.
And you look just like your daddy. I ain't gonna lie to
you. You do look like your daddy.
and I'm proud to say that, you know, because there was never a time my dad wasn't there.
Yeah.
I can't sit here and say there's never a time my dad wasn't
And your
there.
Mom and your dad was married the whole time?
The
or
entire
no?
time. Well, yeah. And even and they had their issues, you know, like all
like everybody.
Does.
Absolutely.
Right.
But one thing my daddy did was, he never ever made us kind of, you know, he never let us see. Well, we saw some of the flaws because when we got older, he was able to, you know. But when we were younger, a lot of times he tried to be the best that he could. You know what I mean? And my daddy didn't have it all. My daddy wasn't the richest man in the world.
Right.
But one thing about it is, it's time. Anytime right. I had a football game, he was there.
Right.
Anytime I had a spelling bee, he was there.
Yeah.
One story, I used to cut up in class.
Yeah,
we know.
We already know now. The last episode, we know now.
Class clock.
We know.
I used to cut up in class, right? But this is my daddy. So one day, man, I'm cutting up in class, and usually I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna call your mama and call your daddy. You tell me that, I'm gonna act up even more because I might as well go in. My daddy was the type of person that be sitting in the back of the class. So this particular day, I was going in, man. I'm full into it. Like, this is, I'm having a fit, and I'm tearing class up. And the teacher like, I'm gonna tell your daddy, and I'm like, shoot, tell him. And he said, look back. And my daddy's sitting in the back of the class.
Oh my God!
My heart dropped to my stomach. My daddy ain't play. My daddy, listen. That joke ain't spelled a rod.
Oh,
yeah. I got a whooping in front of the class.
In front? Whoa. He take you outside?
This is before DCF and all that. This is before
Well, we had HRS.
Yeah, you're right. They let you whoop your kids.
But it's back in the day, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But one thing about it is, he was a great example of what a father
was. How old was you when that happened?
I was in like fifth grade.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a little girlfriend in class too. So you know, I be trying to hold my tears.
You say you had a girlfriend?
Yeah, I had girlfriends in class and all, man.
No, they were talking trash.
So I was sitting here trying to hold my tears, and I couldn't, man. He teared me up.
Ooh.
But at the same time, I never acted up after that. You know,
he was a ninja
that one
in the
time.
Back of class. But you know what though? That's daddy.
Yeah,
that's the role daddy's supposed to play in your life.
My daddy was on top of us with everything, because at the same time, you got to think about it. My dad had three boys. growing up in the south side of Tallahassee. You know, so you got to kind of, if you ain't got a hold on them, it's easy for us to get snatched up. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And one thing I can say is all of my brothers, my youngest brother is a secret agent in Washington, D.C. Right now. My older brother is the supervisor over the security of the lottery. And you know what I mean? I'm a police officer. So
he did something right.
None of us never got in. Right. I got into some trouble, but I ain't never get into no legal trouble. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Right. But I say all that to say this, he was a perfect example, because the way I raise my kids now, I had a blueprint in front of me. Mm-hmm. So you know what I mean?
That's
so
key.
Based off of how he raised us, and like I said, he was always there. Mm-hmm. Always there. He attended everything that we did. He's a preacher as well.
Yeah, I would say he's a man of the cloth too.
Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like pops, and then his messages that he had. Like he wasn't the type of person that go to church one day and be one way and then come home and be another way. No,
he lived
solid. You know what I'm saying? Even when we got whoopings, like it was like interrogation. Like if I know I got in trouble at home and I hear pops come in and I know I'm gonna get a whooping, like he didn't spare the rod. You know what I'm saying? There's a way he whooped us, because, and it was like the most drawn out thing in the world. Like it was.
He's gonna break you down. Listen, you know, Pops, you done messed up, Pops, right?
My daddy liked to watch Jeopardy, so he'll come home and you kind of anticipating the whooping because he doesn't already.
I don't
told
even
you
know where this gonna go, bro.
I don't know nothing. Where this going, brother?
Listen. So you know he'll come home and you know you finna get a whooping. So he's like the smoothest discipliner, and like I promise you, he has the same, like I don't care how much you see him, he's the same pace every time. Like it's just smooth how he do it. So you in the room just waiting and he coming on, so you don't put on an extra pair of jeans or something, because you know, like my pops will tear you up. You know what I'm saying? Like that joke ain't play. He'll come home and you know he's pulling off his clothes, so he'll call you in the room like, you know, Mr. West, come on in the room.
You call you Mr. West?
Mr. West.
Oh, he's just your dad. Mr. West, come on in the room. You had one of them dads.
So.
Like you had a doctor's
appointment. Yeah, right.
Come on in here, brother.
Yeah, so you sitting there just. Listen, it's like you, because you know what's going to happen, so you got to sit down there. So while Jeopardy is on, he ain't saying a word to you. So before Jeopardy, you know, it comes on, and but you got the commercial first. So like, let me know what happened at school today.
Yeah.
You know me. That a teacher don't like me, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's the old story. You got to put it on somebody else.
Ain't did nothing.
Yeah.
Right? So, Jeopardy comes on, and it's quiet. And you just sitting there waiting for him to say something. Like, Pops, come on, man. And he'll sit there and watch Jeopardy. Commercial.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah. Commercial comes on. Okay. Well, I told you, you know, when you get to school, there's certain things that you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And you didn't do it. You know, I hate to get a call from the teacher. Jeopardy comes on, it's just quiet.
So you're watching Jeopardy.
At that moment.
Right, listen,
he knew he messed up.
Yeah,
he's psychologically.
Your daddy believing in torture.
Messing with you.
Right, I'm psychologically.
Psychological warfare.
I'm already whooped and already defeated already.
Right.
So at the same, but that's just how he is, you know.
Your daddy's a smart man. Yeah,
oh, listen. Yeah. One thing he always taught us is think about what we're doing before we do it. That was his, like, that's one of his main things. He kind of drove into us. Think about what you're doing before you do it.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just what it is. But he was the type of person, he didn't just do things. He thought things. Like, there's a lot of thought.
Levels to it,
everything.
Right.
Yeah, and even to this day, you're not going to go talk to him about anything. Mm-hmm. If you're going to talk to him about it, you better have your facts and stuff straight.
Right.
Because at the same time, he's that type of person. Like, you ain't just going to tell him. Yeah, everything is like that. But at the same time, that taught me to be on top of my stuff. You know what I'm saying? Even when I'm dealing with my kids. Just based off of it's just the how he was and who he was to us, I was able to raise my kids the exact same way. You know what I'm saying? Right. And even if I had to
do it, even with your own touch on it, though.
Yeah, he was
your
wise. Touch
on my daddy was and still is a wise man. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to, even if you ever hear him preach or anything else, there's a lot behind what he, you know what I mean? Like, he always, there's a point and it's deep. Like, you be like, ooh.
He live life. He talking right to me. He live life.
Ooh, Pops. Yeah. Goodness.
Okay. Even at a young age, you was able to recognize how deep some stuff was that he was saying?
You hear how I talk sometimes?
Yeah.
That's because of him. That's, you know what I'm saying? I had to be this way because I'm a debater.
Right.
And my daddy, if I'm a debate with him, okay, let me see what happened.
You gotta
bet, all right.
Gotta have it together because
you gotta have your facts. Yeah. You gotta have your facts.
All right, Dad, this is what's going on, and here's this and this. No, right, son.
He like a lawyer,
and he talks just like this. Yes, no. That's not what happened.
Oh, man. God, them the worst ones. Yeah. Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? But
hey, them the real original gangsters.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Now, listen. The original gangsters. But at the same time, everybody wanted, like, I have a lot of God kids. And even at his school right now, my dad works at Rickards. Shout out to Rickards. Again.
Oh, he do?
Again.
What do you do at Rickards?
He's the, he's over the Health Academy.
Oh, I didn't know
but
that.
He was a biology teacher at first. But one thing my daddy did was, my daddy didn't grow up with a lot of money, and he was poor. You know what I'm saying? Like, my grandma didn't have a lot. So
anybody at the table, daddy was rich?
Mm-mm. Yeah. So based off his experience growing up as a poor person, he realized that a lot of these kids come to school hungry. Mm-hmm. Like, their only source of food is when you get to school. Yeah. Their only source of food, and
we
even
just
confident.
Now learning about that
So you know what my daddy does? Cook breakfast.
All
right. My daddy right now have a whole breakfast and feed all the people hungry in the morning.
Boy, shout out to
all
daddy,
the students.
Hey, no, it's all the students. Like, to this day, my daddy come home and he had eggs, all the other stuff. And my daddy could cook. Man, I mean, he from Georgia, so my daddy cooks. Like,
what part of Georgia your daddy from?
Meigs and Thomasville. He was born in Thomasville, so right. Pelham area and all that other stuff. But my dad, so he took his experiences as a child, not being able to, you know, and not having it
that's
all,
important.
And understood the struggles of the kids now. And right now, any kid I ever see to this day, man, I love your daddy. Mm-hmm. My dad is the best. You know what I'm saying? And as a child, like, even I have, like, he adopted so many God kids. So a lot of times I got to share my daddy with a lot of people, which I ain't, you know what I mean?
I ain't tripping over it
at the same time as Pops, you know what I'm saying? But one thing I can say on my Pops, he's been consistent.
Right.
You know Stand what I'm saying? Up. And he showed us the best way he could. He was hard on us. He didn't just give us anything. My mama, oh yeah, you give it. My daddy, nope. I could need $50 right now, and it'd be my last 50. I just need this $50. Pops, I need $50. He can have $1,000 in his hand. How you gonna get it?
Hey, you said consistency. How important do you think that consistency is when you're talking about being a father?
It's major, because one thing about it is you got to keep your promises. Mm. And that's what I've seen, even with my couple of friends. Like, when you start to break your promises to kids, you start to lose. Yeah, and they start to rebel against that. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. If my dad had a broke promises, I don't know what I would have did.
Because it's almost like they know that you aren't who you say you are.
Right. And so therefore, anything you say after that point, they don't believe.
It's kind of diluted at that point.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
And it was that hope we was talking about.
Right. And that happens to, even through some of my kids. You know what I mean? I don't put none of my kids' mother out there. But sometimes, you know, broken promises hurt them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Especially when they're expected from people who, like your mom and dad, are like, when you say you're going to do something, I'm expecting you to do what you say you're going to do. Which is the reason I'm the way I am. I'm not gonna tell my kids I'm gonna do something that I can't do or that I ain't.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? And when it comes to my kids, like, dad, all I'm gonna tell you, daddy never told me nothing that he didn't say he was gonna do. You know, and when you start to establish that relationship, that you are who you say you are, and you're gonna do what you say you're gonna do. That's big, the kids. I'm pretty sure y'all know that. That if your dad had said I'm coming and he had actually showed up every time he said he's gonna come, imagine what that would have did to you. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, my pops was there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And even to this day, he's there. Even for my grandkids, he used to show up at my best friend who didn't have a father at his school. And
that's a man, right?
Yeah,
that's a real dude.
Yeah, he'll come to his classroom for bring your father's the kid. I mean, bring your daddy to school day.
That's a dude.
When he didn't have a daddy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? My daddy stepped in the paint. My dad has always been a community-oriented man. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of fell off on me because that's what kind of made me.
Can we get some breakfast? Because I love breakfast.
Listen, if I call him right now, Pops, that's
get some breakfast.
He has a big heart.
Hey, so your daddy would completely appreciate everything we doing right now.
Pops, and I hope you see this. Pops, I appreciate you, honestly. Right. Yeah. Even the times when you didn't get, like, seriously, my daddy, the reason why He made me a man one day when I was on the trail road in the dark. I said, Pops, this is my first time ever being a man and actually being out on the streets. Pops, my tire flat. Well, what you gonna do about it? That's when I realized I got to go out here and change my whole time. Yeah, but you don't know what that did for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's facts. Yeah, shout out to Pops. Listen, man, I appreciate everything you did, you know. And I couldn't, there's no words or any actions that I could do that could, you know, tell you how much I thank you.
You're doing it.
The person you are.
You're doing
this
it.
No, nah, but see, this ain't even enough. Basis. It ain't even enough. It's deeper than this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the same time, I'm hearing y'all stories, and at the same time, I can't relate. You know what I'm saying? Because Pops, he was there.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? Stories
it's not even degrading nothing, but at the same time, he was there. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing I can say that. I mean, he was there.
Right.
Boy, this is why I feel like it's not degrading, because what you had that motivated you, some of that stuff I didn't have, but it motivated me the same way.
Right, right.
So which is why I am the way I am
today. Some of the stuff your pops did was commendable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely commendable. You know what I'm saying? It's people like your pops that helped me out when I was younger. When my pops wasn't always, you know, around, I would have those, you know, people like your pops that would help me, give me a little wisdom, whatever it is that we needed at that time to get by, or to help me learn how to do certain things, you know.
Right.
I did get a lot of wisdom from my pops, though, in the midst of him. Not when he was there a little bit, he would ask me stuff like, do you want a job or a career? Mm. He'll drop little gems like that.
Yeah.
Make you think, you know,
right, where you want to be.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
think about that, I see.
Exactly. So them things is what help us, and I learned how to earn everything I got, you know. Okay. But that's very important, man. You know, very important.
So, who was your father? Was he? Like who was he? I know him as a pastor,
right?
So, as a pastor, what type of father was he to you as a pastor? Because we all have these thoughts of who a pastor is and the pastor's children, and all that kind of stuff.
You know what? I got a perfect segue to my story.
Go ahead.
Right. So, as a parent, and I'm going to tell all the parents out there, at some point in your child's life, explain to them who you are and what you went through. Because this is where I got to know my daddy as an adult, what he went through. And this will explain that bridge where why he couldn't do what he was supposed to do, or different things, different times, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's where I got to know my daddy.
Yeah.
Right. So this is where it came into full play. So real quick, give you a backstory. And this is chopped up because this is my childhood. This is my experiences. So I think I was maybe elementary school. I got to meet my sisters. I had two older sisters by my dad for the first time. I think he took us to Lost Lake. I don't know if y'all remember where Lost Lake was. So that's where I remember meeting my sisters for the first time. And I was like, oh, shoot, I got older sisters. And then chopped and screwed.
How many older sisters?
Two. I don't know if I can say the name, but my sister Laisha, she's probably around 40-something, maybe. Don't hold me, this is. And then my sister Shanita, she's probably two years older than me. And I end up seeing her. So flash forward, I end up seeing her at Rickards and RTC. And I was like, man.
While we was there?
Yeah.
Wow.
This was my ninth grade year. And I was like, oh, shoot, I think that's my sister. And then, mind you, I'm fifth grade. I don't remember seeing her again until ninth grade. And I was like, I think that's my sister. I was telling my friends, last name, same. She's like, yeah, Wendell, our daddy. Shout out to Wendell.
Wow. How strange.
That was weird, bro.
I was about to say, how strange or how normal is it? Like, to know you have a sister.
Right.
You see her. You don't have no relationship with her. Mm-mmm. And you're trying to figure out how you're going to approach her.
Right. Wow,
bro.
I didn't know how to approach her. And then I remember one of my friends just ran up and told her, like, yeah, DeCario might be your brother. And then she's like, your daddy name? Yep, that's him. So
that's wild. How did y'all's bond change?
Go ahead.
Huh?
How did y'all's bond change? You and your sister, just curious.
We still didn't have no bond because there's a different relationship when you raised with them in the household.
Yeah,
I had a sister, me and my sister grew up in the same household, and she had a different daddy. And then I had two other sisters outside of the household. So I remember my mom had a boyfriend. I thought he was my daddy. And this is probably like preschool, middle school, elementary age, because people told me I looked like him. So I thought that was my daddy. Mm. And then flash forward, I was probably fourth, fifth grade, seeing my real daddy. I know I got two other sisters, chopped and screwed. ninth grade. I seen my other sister. Boom. And my stepmama, remember you talked about your stepmama. Mm-hmm. My stepmama always made it a point to call me on my birthday. She was a good stepmama. And she made sure they did something, whatever special. it was special. And then I remember my mama's showing me a child support check. And like, all right, this is why your daddy ain't nothing. I want to say the other word, but she showed me that. I was like, man.
What, it was a petty amount of
It was like
money?
$18. Wow. I don't know if she what she meant to do with that, but she was like, you know.
Looking back on it. You think your mama would have been petty?
Yeah, she probably been petty. But I didn't know the whole story, so I ain't holding against her. Right. As a young child, I took everything with a grain of salt. I never had a meanness toward my daddy. I just, hey, this is the way it is. This is normal.
That's all you knew.
That's all I knew. You know what I'm saying? The man who grew up in the household with me, with my stepdaddy, I didn't have a close relationship with him, but I knew he was there to support. Right. I knew he was probably taking care of some type of bills. My sister didn't like him, but I was like, man, he here.
He had a role to play. He played that role.
I learned what that role is later in life. Wow. You know what I'm saying? People, you know, marriage is an old institution for financial support. The woman leave their father, get with a man. He provides, protects. So that's a whole nother.
But
he
showed on some stuff.
Boy, yeah. Listen here. And he showed me how to change a tire and the oil change. So, hey, shout out to him.
Now, when he did that?
When I was older. When I was probably.
Built a relationship with him?
No.
So explain to us how you even got into the position to be able to have him tell you how to change oil if you didn't even have a relationship
so
with him.
So when I started driving, right? I didn't start driving until I could afford my own insurance and I had my own license. And they gave me I think we had three cars at the time. He had a Buick and my mama had a Cadillac and it was another brown car I can't remember the name of, but it was all old school cars. So they gave me the Cadillac. Mm. And then my mother, I forgot what she started driving.
How old you were?
This was probably, I'm going to say I graduated Rickards 17, so this was probably 18, 19. Yeah.
Okay, I was about to say, I don't remember you had no Cadillac to car. Either.
Nah, but I got dropped off in it, though.
You got dropped off
in it. They used to be out in front of school clowning. It was a Coupe de Ville 86 Cadillac. Ooh, long. Long.
You knew how to park it? I bet you didn't know how to parallel park.
Boy, look at here. That thing was like a bus to me. I started driving. That was my driving experience. It was old. The windows didn't work. The AC didn't work. So leather seats. It was a microwave in the summertime going to TCC back and forth.
Ain't had no AC?
The windows didn't work? Bruh.
Boy.
They made that feel like they barely worked.
Boy. When you wrote them down, they didn't go back up. So if it started raining, guess what? Yeah, you out of luck. You had the hole in it. Somebody push the button? That was me.
Hey, but your car worked, though. But
it'll overheat on you. Be careful. So I had to make my, you know, just a young man trying to figure it out. They didn't give me much, but I had to, you know, work for what I wanted.
Right.
And so fast forward, again, it was chopped and screwed for me. So fast forward, I had my first son. This is 2012. And like you said, when you have your first kids, the grandparents fall into a different role where you feel like they was more for the grandkids than they was you.
Yeah, it's a conversation that we had in the past.
It's a conversation, yeah. So one day I was like, man, and this is where I'm starting to read a little bit more. This is where I may not be following the Bible as much. This is where I'm learning other stuff. Mm. So I was like, man, you know what? I don't know nothing about my daddy. I don't know what he went through, what he does for a living, how his upbringing was. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I remember him coming up. We stayed in St. Augustine Hills apartments on the first floor. Mm-hmm. And I remember
St. Augustine Road.
Boy, I said, man, just sit down. I just want to talk to him. Like, bro, what? I don't know you. What's your upbringing? And then he started telling me he was the oldest of nine kids. And, you know, the experiences with the police, you know what I'm saying, and why he feel about it. My daddy said, man, I was out there selling drugs. I had a pistol that didn't shoot straight. I had brothers and sisters, and, you know, this is my experience. And he started to go deeper into it, and he said my sister's father and him were good friends on the football team at Gabi. They lifted weights, and my mother, you know, whatever the case may be, they was back and forth. And then he left the house one day after laying with her, and he got served on papers, mm-hmm. and that's when the relationship changed. And mm-hmm. he was, like, you know, wilding out there in jail. And then my auntie played a part because she worked for child support. Mm-hmm. So she used to let me know, shout out to my auntie Phyllis, she let us know the real about having kids
right.
that you can't take care of.
Right, right, right.
She let us know the child support story. She would look up our daddies in a heartbeat. Yeah, they just picked your daddy up over here off of by NIMS.
For child support.
Not for child support. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's where I learned where the system was. Mm-hmm. If you get picked up for child support, they take your license. If you don't have no license, you can't work.
Right. Right.
So I learned that at a young age. And then learning his story, and then later on I got to talk to his mom mm-hmm. and figure out her story, because the story.
Had you always known his mama?
No. I don't remember.
So you ain't had no relationship with your grandma neither?
No. And my mother would do the best she could to get me around them, because it was a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. And I never had that close relationship, because, again, if you don't grow up with those people, right. my sisters, XYZ, you don't have no connection to them. Right. So I feel
none
like it
whatsoever.
Was foreign land when I would get dropped off with them. You know, I remember my cousin Terrell. We had because we was around the same age, we had a good relationship, but it was like.
That's only because I was around the same age.
That was it. Mm. That was it. That's all I remember. That was my childhood, chopping the screw as far as that side of the family. And then so fast forward, learning my daddy. My dad was an electrician. I'm like, oh, bro.
That's a trade that you could have had.
Facts. And I'm growing.
That's a whole nother show, too.
Bro, in the fire department, I'm seeing how other people picked up trades from their dad. Mm.
And you know, whether they contractors.
Oh, my God.
Whatever kind of electricians.
We'll have a financial episode later. Right. But realizing that what that could have did for me as a young man trying to make my way in this world.
Right.
Supporting myself, because that's all true. That matter. Mm-hmm. If you can support yourself, when you get out of the household. And then my daddy, when I was in college, here's where it get funny. My dad would randomly call me, and he said, you got some condoms? And I was like, what? He said, and this was my daddy, what we call our daddy evils, was the woman, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He loved women. And this is where he said, I got these strawberry vanilla cums. I ain't trying to use these.
When you started learning who your daddy really was.
That's when I learned who he was.
When you started learning.
That's when I learned who he was.
Now he thought that you was old enough for him to reveal his true self.
Right.
And so I was like, I thought it was funny. And mm-hmm. I was like, I had to tell my friend, like, this is who my daddy is.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Either sink or swim. I got to either accept that or
move on.
Deal with it. That's and so daddy. My interaction with my daddy is, he's always been in that type of light.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
he's struggling. He's right. going through something. He loved going to church.
Right.
He loved my stepmama, but he always had that downfall.
Right.
And so that's where you got to see that's the human small. Side of it. He ain't no superhero.
Right.
This is what he's going through.
Right.
And then there was another story where he was, you know, my dad was an electrician, so he would go help women in need, put up ceiling fans, mm-hmm. and, you know.
He said, help women
I remember going going over to one of the women's house, and she knew me.
Yeah.
I didn't know her,
yeah.
but this was his life.
Right. Right.
That's you know what I'm saying? Right. You want something to eat, baby? And mm-hmm. I'm just over there like.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, you know what I'm right. saying?
We laughing, like, but you know what, though? Real. Our daddy grown men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our daddy's men, man.
I wouldn't trade him for the world.
Hey, wouldn't trade him for the world, but you talking about your daddy? My daddy?
Same type of dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was
a
man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a
he gonna behave like a man.
Yeah.
When he don't have, let's be real. Let's get religious real quick. When you a grown man and mm-hmm. you ain't got God in your life,
mm-hmm.
you gonna behave just like a man.
But male. No, but see, at the same time, even if you have God in your life, you're still human.
You still
human. My daddy was a and I have a outside sister. Mm-hmm. That I met a couple years ago.
Ooh, the outside kids.
Mm-hmm. However, like you say, you know, it's hard to really. Mm-hmm. I used to see her back in the day, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I didn't know how to approach her because I was like,
When you say outside, you mean outside your
my mama,
the marriage.
Yeah.
So why he's still married to your mama?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. and so what that showed me was, you know, he not perfect. Really? You know what I'm saying? And yeah. it kind of opened my eyes to. A bigger view
life.
Of just like, you know what I'm saying? I don't care what position you hold. You even if you're a preacher, you still got the same thing. You still a human being.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, I don't care. You could be the richest man in the world. You could be the most religious man in the world.
You're
there
still
are times
human.
Where you gonna slip. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, I can't look down on a person just because they made a mistake in life. You know what I'm saying? And that opened my eyes. Like, that kind of changed me, because I used to always think, oh, man, Pop was perfect. Even though, like, my dad is a great man. As kids, that's what
we think about our fathers, our parents in general. We think they're perfect.
Yeah, and so that kind of opened my eyes and showed me that, you know, no matter, even in your worst predicament, you're somebody's best hope. You know what I'm saying? Like, even it.
That's crazy how you say it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, like, like, my dad, even though, you know, he's a great man, that one slip showed me that he was human.
He was human. That's all it took.
You know what I'm saying? And at that point, you know, you could take that either way. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's like almost like you have a, even though he slipped, you still have a newfound respect for him.
Right. Because at the same time, when he told it to me,
right,
he told me when I was eight, he told me, you know, about the whole situation when I was able to understand. And comprehend what was going on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're going to go through it too, sir.
Yeah. And this is what happened. Yeah. And even from, and my mom, man, shout out. My mom was a G, man.
Them black women.
I guarantee you, every single one of us in the table right now, we can all thank our mamas for being great mamas.
Yeah, my mama is a G. Man, listen. Ain't you can have all, you know, we can praise all the fathers in the world, but listen, man. Mother, like, bro, you. This ain't even
Mother's y'all save all that good talk about y'all moms for another episode. They deserve it for their own episode.
I ain't gonna even go into it. So
I feel you though.
I'm gonna leave it right there. I feel you though. Because when I talk about it, that's a whole nother.
Right.
I go for real.
That's part of the reasons why we're great fathers.
Right.
Now. Yeah. You know,
what you didn't have.
Our dads too, what we didn't have. And you asked who was my dad. My dad, outside of a preacher, was a man that I seen in my eyes was still going through becoming a man.
Right. See, I was going to come back to you because you ain't get an opportunity to really explain who your father was. Because out of all of our fathers, you know what I'm saying, your daddy was a man of cloth too.
Yeah.
But your daddy is a ordained pastor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I want to know who your daddy really was to you. Like, who was he? When you break it down, who was Justin Reed's father to him?
To me, my dad was somebody that I always seen grow. Our relationship was still not where I wanted it to be.
Mm. We talking about a man of cloth who still had flaws.
Right. In the midst of us, him telling me I might not know how to be. He was a man of cloth, a pastor.
Right.
You know.
How much of a man did it take for him to tell you that?
I think it took a lot.
To humble himself, right?
A whole lot.
Did you respect him more because of that?
Our relationship changed after that.
How old were you when he told you that?
I was about 22, 23.
So you was grown.
I was grown.
Yeah.
And I was pissed. I was mad. I was hot.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I had just kind of like was about to graduate college and different stuff. And at this point, it's like, what?
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, like, so what I need to do, what haven't you helped me? Or what haven't you taught me? When all actually, he taught me way more than I knew he did.
Right.
And by that statement alone, let me know a lot about him. But in the midst of him becoming a pastor, I think that I learned more about him and his realness because I began to be more interested in getting to know him.
Right.
That's fact.
Maybe because my calling was coming. Who knows? You know, I grew a lot more in just asking questions besides just being mad. Sometimes when we're in this situation as young men, we have to ask questions instead of assuming or going off what our parents or other people tell us about our daddy. You got to go and ask for yourself, hey, man, what's up?
Or just being in the mindset of a parent. Your kid got gaps. Like, I had a whole bunch of gaps. Yeah. Go and fill in those gaps.
Yeah, you got to.
And tell them, like, all right.
Make it make sense.
This time, I was going through this.
So let me tell you, I just got that this year.
Wow.
Those gaps.
How old are you again?
33.
33 years old.
21.
Yeah, I just got those gaps filled low-key of stuff that it just all it took was a little grill and a little soda pop and some chicken.
Yeah, wow.
And here we are talking about.
There you go.
About just. Sometimes everything. You gotta let them talk for what you want
to
know.
So. I think we have to understand as men, like, it wasn't time for you to understand that stuff when you was younger.
It
took you to be 33 years old for that to come out and be acknowledged to you for you to be able to understand at that age. It was the right time.
You can't even
accept that.
You can't even comprehend, like, the younger you are. Like, him telling you that a couple of years ago when your mind ain't really mature.
Right, it wasn't ready for it.
I wouldn't have
accepted it that way. Yeah. Right. So guess what? He's seen the maturity level in you, and he knew at that point in time, you're like, right now is the best time to tell him.
And now through those talks, he sees me growing. He's getting to know who I am.
Right. Do you think that's why you just started ministering because now he has that faith in you because of that?
It has nothing to do with him.
What does it have to do with?
My calling, my personal relationship, my connection with God.
With God yourself.
But though, I will say God has placed us together through my calling, through his calling to bring
us. Have you learned a lot from him?
Yes.
Okay. I've learned a so he does have a role to play.
He has a role to play. Right. But that decision to be called and for me to preach has nothing to do with him.
That's what's up.
And I think that's why it's important to me. Right. Because it's personal. It's real personal.
Right.
Yep. But the universe is weird like that, where it bring that whole full circle.
Yeah.
You just be sitting back like, man, how this work? Because my mama was mad when my daddy told me the truth. And I didn't intend for it to go. I just happened to tell my sister that, hey, man, I talked to my daddy. He told me this. This was some wild stuff. I was happy. And then my mama got a side of it. But I was like, wait a minute, mama, you can't be mad because my daddy took the time out to tell me who he was.
Right.
I didn't hold it to be the truth or the gospel, but I was happy with the fact that he told me something.
Right.
Because as kids, you don't know how much you're missing until a parent come and fill in those gaps.
And sometimes with those parents that the co-parent, they don't know how much you really need.
Right.
My mom probably would never understand how much I needed that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because all I got was from them.
Right.
Sometimes, and that's all you got.
Hey, one thing we got to remember is at some point, your kids are going to be where you are.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give them the real before they learn from somebody else the wrong stuff.
And be consistent. Be consistent. They don't have to fill in them blanks.
Listen, my oldest is 9. Be going to fourth grade. I remember what my mind was when I was in fourth grade. I got to start laying it out because it's different stuff that's sucking and pulling kids in that they ain't got no control over. They don't know how to interpret. So with me being in the household, I'm finna give them the raw.
So how has your relationship with your father changed you as a father, as far like being present, being there, doing what, you know, how has that changed you?
Gotta let them know that you're going to be there and you love them.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing. Yeah, telling them, "Hey, I love you."
That's very important. I tell my kids that. My 2-year-old, she might not say it back all the time, but I love you, baby. Right.
Yeah,
and that's big. Even when it comes to my kids, man, it's big that you say to fill in those gaps because it's a lot of things I go through with my kids' mother.
With parenting,
parenting is not easy.
I have 4 different kids from 4 different. From the 4 different women.
Mr. West.
Okay. Listen. So
being real. So let's be real for a second. This man just said he got 4 kids with 4 different women.
I got 2 kids.
That's what you said, right?
Right.
So on the surface, that's stereotypical.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the difference is, what role do you play in those children's lives?
I'm there. You know what I'm saying?
We're active.
I'm extremely active. However, you know, the type of kid, like my kid's mother, when I was in the hood, I had hood baby mothers. You know what I'm saying? And that plays a big part because the understanding, you know what I'm saying? My standards grew. I developed elevation. Standards. Yeah. So a lot of them didn't elevate with the standards. So a lot of times I just plain, like, to this day, my kids are older now. My oldest is 16. She'd be 17 this year. You know what I'm saying? I have a 13-year-old that'd be 14. The biggest thing right now is to, I used to always kind of hide things a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But when I became, right at this point, I'm real with them. Like right now, I let them know what's going on because at the same time,
you gotta let them girls.
This is a different generation.
Right.
You know, the way it was easy to hide stuff from us. It was easy to tell us certain things.
Stay in the child's place.
Yeah. But right now, these kids have more access to things. And so right now, you can't just say anything else because now they got things in front of them that to say something different. So I made it very important that whatever's going on, this is what's going on.
Right.
Right now, this is why I'm doing it. This is why your mother's doing it. This is why, you know what I'm saying? Now, I don't put it to the point where, and I never down talk my kid's mother to them. Right. You know what I'm saying? But however, absolutely, I let them know exactly what's going on because they may not understand, and I don't want them to ever feel like I'm either shortchanging or not doing what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Because even if it's portrayed that way on the other side, me, I'm the type of person that I feel like if they understand what's going on now, I ain't got to explain it later. You know what I'm saying? And my kids are extremely smart. You know, even my youngest. You can't just tell her, like, hey, don't sit in front of the TV, you go blind.
She gonna try.
What you mean? How you go blind? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that simple. Yeah. You got to break it down to all these kids. You know what I'm saying? And right now, with all of my kids, I keep it 100.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's more challenging us being present fathers than it is being a deadbeat father? By being in the presence. With co-parenting sometimes, do you think it's more difficult for us?
It's beneficial to be there, but at the same time, it's a lot more pressure on us. I've always felt, just through history and through the experiences I've been through, as an active father,
it's a higher expectancy.
It's a higher expectancy, but at the same time, we go through more stuff than deadbeats go through. Deadbeats don't have to be there.
Yeah. Y'all choose to be there.
Right, but choosing to be there
comes with a lot of responsibility.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
And expectancies that sometimes is not there because that dynamic's not there no
more. Right. Even if like the kid's mother have a different objective or just they have a different perspective on how things should go. You know what I'm saying? Like without putting my business out there, you know, I got some hood baby mamas, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, the way they look at life, I look at life a totally different way.
Right.
It gives my kids balance because at the same time, just being exposed as a law enforcement and seeing what's going on in the world nowadays, I'm able to, you know.
Pivot.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, talk to them from a different angle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm and I talk to them, like, as raw as I can. Like, I don't ever, like, say sugarcoat.
Right.
You have to nowadays. Right. Because at the same time.
They don't know.
Yeah. These kids know. Like, when you sugarcoat some or you're not telling them the truth.
They're going to fact check you, bro.
They have a different level of awareness than we did coming up.
Yeah. Right.
Let me ask y'all this. I'm going to end this, too. I don't care who your daddy was. Did your daddy make you a better person at the end of the day?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's a yes, a yes, and a yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
Now I think at the end of the day, as a father, that's all that you can ask for.
That's
it.
All.
That you make your children better people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you make your children good people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think we all can sit at this table as four black men. We can all sit here and say, despite our daddy's flaws, despite our father's flaws, they all made us better people.
Yep.
And I think it's evident by the careers that we've chosen, the lifestyles that we've chosen to live, and the fact that we can all come together at this table tonight and talk it out.
Yeah.
I think our fathers did the best that they could be, did the best that they could do, and be the best men they could be.
Right.
And we have to thank them for that.
Yeah, and we all got a little piece of our fathers in us.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Some little piece.
The lesson is, you got to learn how to look at your father and look at those flaws, but take the best from him, man.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Don't sit there and ridicule who your father is. Mm-mm. At the same time, don't sit there and make excuses for your father neither.
Yeah.
And when you get to a certain age, you got to be a certain age. Now, you can't just be doing this at 5 and 10 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you get of a certain age, when your father respects what you say to him,
mm-hmm.
tell him what you think, how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to him who you are to him.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, let him know how much you love him, how much you appreciate him. If you feel like he did the best that he could do, be the best man he could be, let him know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shout out to all the fathers.
Keep striving.
Exactly.
Keep going through the challenges of life of being a man, learning how to be a man, learn how to be a father. Just keep going, keep pushing.
Just keep pushing. That's the thing, though. Keep pushing.
Stay consistent. Listen, stay active.
And no matter what condition your father is in, you know, that's your father.
Right. Straight up.
At the end of the day, no matter, we all had our different conditions of how our father was.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? That's our father. And even for those who maybe having issues with their fathers or may not have the relationships they really want with their father, I would encourage you to try to get to know your father. You know what I mean? Because
you're going to learn
it's time to fill in those gaps because they can fill in the gaps that had you wanted all this time. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man.
Badges off, baby. We here.
Hey. Of course.
Hey, that's good, bro.
Yes, sir.
Another day.
Appreciate y'all time, bro.
Oh, yeah.
You were just listening to the Badges Off podcast with Justin Hill, James West, Dakario Jenkins, and Justin Reed. You can also catch us on YouTube at youtube.com/badgesoff.